contains adult content, which could include sexual behavior or exploitation, misuse of alcohol, smoking, illegal drugs, violence, and dangerous behavior. This book includes content that may be distressing to readers, including abusive or discriminatory treatment of individuals, groups, religions, or communities. Chapter 1, Afia. On the night Afia Archer was born, in the land of the Fanti people, a fierce fire burned through the woods near her village. It moved quickly for days and destroyed everything in its path until it reached an Ashanti village and finally stopped. Afia's father, Kobi Archer, left the new baby with his first wife, Baba, to look after while he inspected the damage to the crops in his fields. Some of the villagers thought Afia had brought bad luck because of the fire, and Baba did not like her. When Afia cried, Baba covered her mouth with her hand to try and quieten her down.
"You have to love her," Kobi told Baba, but Baba could not.
Sometimes, Baba dreamed of leaving Afia in the forest alone. Afia was 3 years old when Baba's first son, Fifi, was born. Once, when Baba let Afia hold Fifi, she accidentally dropped him. Fifi was not hurt, and he did not cry, but Baba was angry. She beat Afia across her back with a stick. By the time Baba had finished, Afia was covered in bruises and could not stop crying. When Kobi came home and saw what Baba had done to Afia, he was angry. He beat Baba, just as she had beaten Afia. Afia grew to be a very beautiful girl, and many men in the village wanted to marry her. They gave gifts to Kobi and Baba in the hope that Kobi would allow them to marry Afia when she was old enough. One day, a British soldier came to Afia's village to marry a girl called Ajwa. Ajwa was the first girl in their village who had been approached by a British man for marriage, and Afia was curious about the arrangement. "Can I come with you to show him the village?" Afia asked her parents.
"No," said Baba.
"Yes," said Kobi.
Afia ignored Baba and went to see the soldier with them. It was the first time she had ever seen a white man, and she was scared. When he reached out his hand for Afia to shake, she took a step backward and hid behind her father's leg. Kobi and Baba showed the soldier around the village. They showed him their mud huts with straw roofs and their fishing boats made from tree trunks.
"Baba, why is Ajwa going to marry this man?" Afia asked, as Kobi and the man walked ahead.
"Because her mother says so," said Baba.
Later, the white man came back with servants carrying money and goods, such as iron and cloth, for Ajwa's mother.
"Do you know what's happening?" Kobi asked Afia.
"Yes," said Afia. "The white man came to take Ajwa away."
"Good," said Kobi with a nod.
"The white men live in the Cape Coast Castle. There, they trade goods with us, the Fanti people."
"So they give us things like iron and cloth?" asked Afia.
Kobi nodded.
"Yes, they give us iron and cloth, but we have to give them things in return."
"Like Ajwa?"
"Yes," said Kobi with a sad smile.
"And more white men like him will come to try and take our daughters away, but not you. I have big plans for you. You will marry a man in our village."
Afia already knew who she wanted to marry. His name was Abeeku Badu. He was the next man in line to be the village chief, and he was handsome. Kobi had already arranged for Afia and Abeeku to share a meal together later in the week.
"Did you go to Ajwa's wedding ceremony?" Baba asked Abeeku while they ate.
"Yes, I was there," said Abeeku.
"It's sad
that Ajwa will be leaving the village to live in the castle. She would have made a good wife.
Will you work for the British when you become chief? Athea asked.
We work with the British, not for them, Abba Eku told Athea with a smile. When I am chief, things will continue like normal.
We'll keep on helping the British with the Ashanti trade.
Athea nodded, though she was not sure what Abba Eku meant by Ashanti trade. The Ashanti were another group of people who lived in their country.
You will let me know when Athea is ready for marriage, Abba Eku said to Baba once he had finished eating.
Baba nodded, but she did not look happy.
That night, Baba woke Athea up.
When you get your first monthly blood, you must hide it. You must tell me and no one else. Do you understand, Athea?
Athea had never seen such a look of desperation in her mother's eyes before.
Yes, she said. I understand.
What's it like in the castle? Baba asked.
Athea and Baba were having lunch with a girl called Millicent and her mother. They were from another Fanti village, but Millicent's mother had married a British soldier.
Baba was very interested in Millicent's mother's life in the castle.
It's fine, said Millicent's mother. They take care of you in the castle.
Baba moved closer to Millicent's mother, but Athea could still hear her.
And did he pay your mother a lot of money to marry you?
Yes, said Millicent's mother.
The money they give you is very, very good. But I have to be honest. I wouldn't want my daughter to marry a white man. She would have to live in the castle, far away from me. It's better if your daughter marries a man in the village, so she can stay close to you.
Baba nodded and turned to look at Athea. Athea quickly looked away.
2 days after her 15th birthday, Athea's first monthly blood appeared.
Baba, I have gotten my blood.
Baba covered her mouth with her hand.
Who else knows?
No one, said Athea.
Good, said Baba.
Keep it that way.
If anyone asks if you have become a woman yet, you must say no. Do you understand?
Why? Baba reached into Athea's mouth and grabbed her tongue sharply.
Don't question me. If you don't listen to me, I'll make sure you never speak again. Do you understand?
Athea nodded. For the rest of the night, she could taste the blood on her tongue. The next week, the old chief died, and Abba Eku became the new chief of the village. At the chief ceremony, Kobi was unhappy.
My daughter should be standing next to him, said Kobi.
Is she really not ready to be married yet?
No, said Baba.
After 3 days as the new village chief, Abba Eku announced that he had a plan to make their village even more powerful. He brought all the men in the village together to tell them his plan.
What are they going to do? Asked Athea.
That's none of your business, said Baba.
Athea turned to her brother Fifi. Although he was younger than her, because he was a boy, he was allowed in the meeting with Abba Eku and the men.
What are they going to do? Athea asked Fifi.
You're a girl. You don't need to know about the business of men, said Fifi.
You're not a man yet, said Athea.
And you're not a woman. If you were, you would have married Abba Eku by now.
Athea started to cry. She turned to go away, but Fifi suddenly grabbed her arm.
We're helping the British and the Ashanti with their trade, said Fifi.
Oh, said Athea. We're going to give Ashanti goods like gold and cloth to the white men?
Don't be stupid, said Fifi.
Abba Eku has made an arrangement with one of the most powerful Ashanti villages. We're going to help them sell their slaves to the British. The white men returned to Athea's village, this time to approve some goods Abba Eku had promised them. Baba took Athea to meet them. There were two of them,
and they followed Abaeku into his hut. Abaeku introduced the white men to his family. "Who is this?" the older of the two white men asked, pointing at Afia. He smiled at her. "Is she your wife?"
"No, she's not my wife," said Abaeku. He sounded annoyed, so Afia looked away. She was so embarrassed. She wanted to break her promise to Baba and tell Abaeku she was ready for marriage, but she was too scared to say anything.
The older white man was called James Collins, and he was the governor of Cape Coast Castle. He returned to the village a week later and asked Baba if he could marry Afia.
"No," shouted Kobi.
"She has to marry Abaeku."
"She can't marry Abaeku until her first blood comes," said Baba.
"We've been waiting too long. Husband, listen to me. She's bad luck. I think she was cursed in that terrible fire. I don't think she will ever become a woman.
Her only hope is if she marries the white man. The white man will give us a lot of money for her, even more than Abaeku would give us." Kobi thought about it all night. The next day, he said to Baba, "Fine." Baba smiled widely and went to tell Afia. "Here," Baba said. She handed Afia a necklace with a black stone on it. "Take this with you when you go. It's a piece of your mother." Nobody came to Afia's wedding at the castle. She was alone. After they were married, James gave her a tour of the castle. Afia thought it was wonderful, with stone buildings and fine furniture.
"What's down below?"
Afia asked James after he had finished showing her the castle. She could hear noises coming from beneath her.
"Are there people down there?"
"Yes," said James. "They're slaves, trade goods."
"How can you keep people down there?" asked Afia.
"You white people are horrible. Take me home."
"No," said James with force. "Your home is no better."
Afia knew that James was right. She could not go back to her village now. Anyway, she knew that she was lucky to have James. He treated her kindly and was patient with her when she asked many questions. But Afia was still nervous. She knew what was expected of her as a wife, and knew that James would want children soon. One day, after 2 years in the castle, Afia realized she was pregnant. However, soon after that, she received some terrible news. Her father, Kobi, was dying. Afia traveled back to her village to say goodbye.
"He's very weak," said Fifi. He watched as Afia held their father's hand. "I think he's going to die soon." Afia nodded and started to cry.
"Afia," said Fifi, "I have something to tell you. Baba is not your real mother. Your real mother was a servant girl who ran away into the fire the night you were born. She left you that stone around your neck." Soon after Fifi spoke, Kobi died with Afia still holding his hand.